ask for interest in prayer tonight if we have it given. Go to Psalm 63.
Anxious to get here tonight. Enjoyed studying this psalm, and I pray the Lord will bless our time together and studying it together tonight. Title I've given to it is Praising God Even in the Wilderness. Do we have to be in the house of God to praise the Lord? Aren't you glad? Oh my goodness. It was more of an effort in the Old Testament when they had the law service and they had a place prescribed that the Lord placed his name and they were to go there, and that was the only place that God honored for them to have an altar. Now, you know, the other nations of Israel, they departed in that and they had altars in other places, but what a blessing that today we can worship him in spirit and in truth wherever we are. But he has given us the church. And we are told in the book of Hebrews that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So we have the opportunity to come to the house of God, and we should avail ourselves to it. And I think I touch on that a little later, so I better get to the notes instead of getting ahead of myself. Since God's mercy is everlasting and his loving kindness is ours daily, and it is, isn't it? Communing with him should be our top priority. And I pray that this point gets across tonight. The need, the priority of communing with God on a daily basis. It doesn't cut it to just Sunday morning. As a matter of fact, if Sunday morning is all you ever do, you're missing out on a great deal from the Sunday morning. Because when you've been communing with God all week, you're in a better frame of mind and your heart is better prepared to worship him on Sunday morning. But if you've not, I'm not sure how much you'll get out of just Sunday morning. That's part of the reason why I'm thankful that we have a Wednesday night. Breaks up the week, doesn't it? Get to have a little time of fellowship with God's people, this locality. All right, so communing with him should be our top priority. Praise and adore him daily, regardless of our trouble. We've talked about this a lot when we've gone through the Psalms, haven't we? We may have trouble. God's still the same. And he's just as worthy to be worshiped in our trouble as when we're on the mountaintops. But what usually happens? We may praise him on the mountaintop, but we say, woe is me. Woe is me. That's as far as we get a lot of times in our troubles. But he is just as worthy to be praised when things are going bad as he is when things are going good. All right? Okay. If it's a priority with us, we'll find a way to do it in our trouble, won't we? Okay. All right. Verse 1, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. This psalm is thought to apply to the time when David was in the wilderness fleeing from Absalom. Remember that? Absalom, his own son, trying to kill him, take the throne. Okay. Absalom spent a lot of time visiting with folks and getting friendly with folks and making folks like him. And so that and getting in a position to where they should come counsel with him instead of folks coming to David, the king. And he usurped that position with so many that he was able to chase David from the throne. But Absalom was not God's choice to reign over God's people. If you're going to do it God's way, there'll be peace. If you try to do it some other way, it's going to be confusion and strife. All right. So that's what we had here. Absalom was chasing his own father, trying to take the throne, Okay. All right, so verse 11 indicates that David was king, but he was away from his throne and the beloved sanctuary. The rest of verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Let that sink in for a second. Already we see the condition of David's heart. He's away from Jerusalem, and he's away from the tabernacle, and he's longing for God. And he describes that longing as a thirst and a longing. Before we get into the notes for that particular thought, I'll ask you a question. Have you ever been thirsty for God? We've all been thirsty. You know what that's like. And if you've been really thirsty, you know what that's like. But we're talking about taking that same feeling and applying it for a thirst for God. Oh, that we could all be there. When we come to the house of God, when we get on our knees to pray, or whatever posture you choose for your prayers, oh, that we could be thirsty for God. Is he worthy of it? Yeah, he is. He is. But are we always thirsty for God? To be honest, we have to say we're not. But should we be? Okay. All right, we're on the same page there. We should be. There's lots of reasons we should be. And if our mind was set upon our need of God and his help, and the fact that he's got all the help we need, he has the power, he has the love, he has the mercy, we have all in the Lord Jesus Christ, that for Christ's sake, God blesses us. Yet like we've said before, it's like we've got a check drawn on the bank of heaven, but we don't cash it. It's available to us. Sometimes putting in those kind of terms helps us to understand what we have available, the resources we have available to us. And oftentimes, they go unused. Don't think you'll ever drain your account with God. All right, I'm getting off the subject. Thirsting. God. While there was nothing in that land to refresh him, his soul found the refreshing it desired from communion with God. The one to whom he called was the one and only God he needed. And that's true for us too, isn't it? He's all we need. The Lord's my shepherd. Why are we wanting? Why are we wanting? We have lots of wants. I'm not talking about wishes. I'm talking about there's genuine needs that we have. Why? James, jump to the New Testament. James says you have not because you ask not. And even at times when we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our own lusts. Oh, we got some work to do, don't we? Okay? David knew that God was all the God he needed. And he's all the God we need. And I love to think about that statement that Elder Eddie Whitby years ago, I heard him make from Eddie Whitby from Georgia. He said, you know, you can have all of the Lord that you want. So how much of him do you want? Seems like some folks don't want any. And even some who should don't seem to want very much. So we'll leave that at that. But the real issue is, how is it with you? How much of him do you want? Do we want a lot? We can have it. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to go to a geographic location. We don't have to get ourselves up to a certain level. If we love God, when we approach him like we should, he'll meet us wherever we are. Because he's that merciful. He's that loving. Now, I said, if we approach him in the right way, with humility. See, the proud, he knoweth the far off. But we humbly seek him. If he's working in us both to will and do of his good pleasure, and we respond to the working of the Spirit, and if we call to him, he hears. We have a wonderful God. And David knew that he had a wonderful God. And this God is all the God he needed. Even though he wasn't able to be in Jerusalem and in the tabernacle, he could worship God where he was in the wilderness. Oh, what a blessing. And that's Old Testament. But he knew it then. And he could worship God wherever he was. God was with him wherever he went. Before and beyond earthly comforts. David said, early will I seek thee. Now, that might sound a little cryptic. But have you ever noticed, you know, well, let me just put it this way. Your best success, based on my experience and feedback I've gotten from others, your best success of having good communion with God is early, like he says. Early in the day. Do you know why? If you start doing something else, there is no end to the things that will interfere. The old devil's there just putting one thing after another right in front of you. Right? So early, before anything else, we need to be seeking the Lord. You know, when Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. When did Jesus say that? In the model prayer. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. Does it do any good to pray that when you're lying down to bed at night? Well, if you hadn't gotten to it all day, I'd rather you do it then than leave it off. But if you're going to pray for daily bread, that's strength for that day. So do it early so that you start the day with that strength. Don't you know that if you're praying what the Lord taught us to pray, he'll honor it? You do it sincerely. Now, if you just do it as a matter of rote repetition and mindless repetition, you're not accomplishing anything. But I don't ever want to discourage anybody from praying and speaking the Word of God. Could just be that the Lord would open your understanding to something. All right, but anyway, David knew that wherever he was, God was with him. So early, he says, will I seek thee. Notice how important this is to David. While life was hectic, remember now, he was being chased by Absalom. He was away from Jerusalem, off the throne. Life was hectic for him. And he had many problems. He had his priorities right. Do you know that makes a tremendous difference? Because if we got the priorities right, God will help us. But if you're neglecting those things, you may have a hard row to hoe.
I've had some of them, too.
I think we all have. Okay? But if we got our priorities right, the Lord, he understood his need of the Lord above everything else. And early in his day, his habit was to pray and to commune with his God. And if you've ever developed that habit, you know the blessing of it. I don't have to convince you of a thing. If you've not done it, I encourage you to do it. Just as his body would become parched and thirsty without frequent drinks of water, so his soul thirsted and longed for the refreshing of regular communion with God in spirit. Now, I've mentioned, I'm sure, before, years ago, I heard a statement that Elder Sonny Powell made on tape one time. I was listening to a tape. I didn't hear him in person. But he talked about hungering for righteousness, hungering for the things of God. And you would think that if a person left it off for a while, they'd get hungrier and hungrier. Well, for a little while, they do. But after a while, they start losing their appetite. And they're not hungry for God anymore. That's a sad place to be, isn't it? That is a dangerous place to be, spiritually speaking. We want to stay close to God. We want to stay hungry for God. We want to desire, we want to be thirsty for his word and his spirit in our lives. It'll save us from a lot of error. So, while David was hindered from going to the house of God as he desired, it didn't keep him from worshiping him where he was. This should be a lesson for us today. Worshiping with the saints is a privilege. Appreciate it. Participate in it whenever possible. We also could have added, but when you can't, at least don't neglect to worship God. Okay. Verse 2. We're going to have to pick up the pace, aren't we? Verse 2, I need to read that part of verse 1 to make sense to us. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And here's what he's thirsting for: to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David was away from it, but what he was longing was for him to see the Lord as he had in those worship services. This is what David remembered. This is what fed his soul, seeing God's power and glory in worship. All right? not that there was some spectacular experience witnessed by all, but that God is the one looked to and being praised by faith. Now, there's something special when God's people get together and the Holy Spirit blesses that assembly. The power of God must be exercised upon your soul in order to see Him and His glory, right? New birth, growing in grace, understanding what we're seeing, seeing the kingdom of God, all right? And what a glorious sight it is to see a congregation of believers worshiping and being blessed by the Spirit. David longed for that experience again, but was hindered at that time. Regardless, while he remembered its joy in Jerusalem, it didn't keep him from continuing his private devotions early and on a daily basis. You know, to see God's power and glory, if you know what you're looking for, and you see God working among His people, I tell you, that's something, isn't it? And we can see God working in lots of things, can't we? You know, God's people can look at nature and creation, the beauty of God's creation. It just shows forth His glory, doesn't it? The heavens declare the glory. Okay? 24/7, they're declaring His glory. Anybody look out at the stars last night? They were beautiful. I hadn't seen that many stars in a long time. It's glorious, isn't it? But it's also glorious to see a group of people. Because when you understand the Word of God, that man by nature does not seek after God, and yet you see a congregation joining their hearts together in praising God and desiring to hear from His Word, I'm going to tell you something, that's glorious. Because it's not by nature of man. It's by the power of God working in the hearts of His people. All right? And so why is it that David is so intent upon continuing his worship? Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. That loving kindness. I just like that word, don't you? It speaks of love, it speaks of kindness, it speaks of all that God is. All right? Because thy loving kindness is better than life. What is better than life itself? How about the one who gave it? It is God that made us and not we ourselves. There wasn't a little pool of goo that eventually became you. Right? God spoke this world into existence. I'm thankful for life, but I want to praise the one that gave us life. Amen. That in Him is life itself. All right, so what's better than life itself? How about the one who gave it? How about the one who sustains it? There's a lot of things in this world that could take our life. When's the last time you thanked God for eternal life? What if this life is all we had? Some of those commercials you see on TV would be applicable then, wouldn't it? You know, go for the gusto. You only go around once. It's the way a lot of people live their life. Aren't you thankful for eternal life? That this life is not all there is. Now, there's a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of blessings. God's so good to us. His loving kindness is good toward us every day. Even when we forget Him, He's still good toward us. So what's better than life itself? How about the one that made it? How about the one that sustains it? How about all the loving kindness that God in His mercy shows us daily and continues to pour out upon us? As we've said many times going through the Psalms, aren't you glad that He gives us more than what we ask for? There's so many blessings we enjoy every day that we don't even think about asking for. But His loving kindness provides so much for us that we don't even think about. We need to spend more time praising the God who gave us life than the things in life we have to enjoy. In other words, let's start praising more the God of our blessings instead of the blessings. Aren't we so prone to think about the blessings and enjoy the blessings so much that we sometimes forget the hand that gave it to us? We need to be praising the Lord more than what He's doing for us. If not, we may find ourselves without them, with many days to regret it. David knew who supplied his blessings, and he regularly moved his lips in high praises. And I want to emphasize the moving of the lips in praises. It's not just a matter of having a good feeling and living your life with just a good feeling. David wanted to express it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell others about the goodness and mercy of God. Don't you just love to get together with somebody who loves the Lord and talk about your blessings and talk about how the Lord's been with you and protected you and led you about and provided for you and helped your children and helped your friends and helped your whoever? It's endless about what we can talk about when we want to talk about the goodness and mercy of God and His loving kindness. I can talk about that all day long. Now, you let somebody start talking about all they've done for the Lord, and it doesn't take me long to lose interest in that. My God doesn't need any help. Now, there's plenty He's given us to do, and we ought to be doing it. But He doesn't need any help, does He? Oh, but we can talk about and rejoice in the good things and the loving kindness our God gives to us. So we ought to be moving our lips in praise to Him. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now this is an interesting thought. Blessing the Lord while you live. It's kind of understood, isn't it? Because once you die, you're not going to bless Him anymore here. Are you? Don't count on it. I kind of did a little search, and I was surprised that that thought is expressed about 16 times in Isaiah and the Psalms, exhorting God's people to praise Him while we live. Now, it doesn't take much thought to understand the truth of that and why that is, but the point is, get with it. How many times have we missed the opportunity to praise the Lord when we could have? We could have, and we didn't. This should be our priority in life. After all, Isaiah 38 and 18 says, "For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." In other words, by that time, it's over. Your participation in it is over. We have opportunities every day to praise God. How often have we squandered them? How many days have we squandered not praising the Lord? Also, Psalm 6 and 5 says, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" Now, when we're raised, now, in spirit, we understand now, in spirit, as soon as our spirit departs this body, we awaken his presence. To be absent from the body is to eventually be in the presence of the Lord? No, it's not what it says, is it? To be absent from the body is. It's one or the other. It's like a light switch. It's one or the other. Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. We shouldn't be too at home in this world that we don't look forward to that day. Therefore, David said that while he lived, he would lift up his hands and bless the holy name of God. Surely, we can praise him for all he's done for us. You just need to think about it more. If we think about it more, think about our unworthiness, think about his goodness, that praise is going to come out. We just don't think about it enough, do we? All right, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I believe tonight I heard praise with joyful lips. Sometimes when you get to the house of God and you've got things on your mind and you're being drawn by other things, that maybe you join in song, but maybe there's no joy. But hopefully the sentiment of these songs, the reminder of God's goodness, the reminding of our need of him, hopefully that joy comes. It'd be better if we'd prepare our hearts before we come to the house of God so that we can be part of that joyful sound as soon as it starts. I'm thankful that God's people gather together to sing before the preaching. I never have understood those that don't want to participate in singing before the preaching. To me, it's just something natural about worship. Marrow and fatness conveyed the idea of the best to be enjoyed on festive occasions. And reading about this, I learned that the Jews had a lot more interest in the fat of an animal than we do. Whatever that means. But it carries the fat and the marrow and the fatness. It carried the idea of rich and full blessings from God. But better than natural blessings are the spiritual blessings we receive of the Lord's hand daily. I'm thankful for all the blessings that we receive. But oh, when you can feel that the Lord has blessed you with some time with him. When you can feel that he's had mercy upon your poor soul and has heard your prayer and has helped you, I'll tell you, that strengthens you. And we need that strength, don't we? Every day. Whether natural or spiritual, may we be satisfied in them and joyfully praise him for all of them. We need the natural blessings, but we desperately need the spiritual. Okay. So when did David do this? He said, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." So when would David do this? Well, certainly in his daily devotion, but also, verse 6 says, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." I didn't have this in the notes, but I'm sure you've all had those restless nights. You can't sleep. And there are nights when you can toss and turn till the rooster crows. Wouldn't it be better to think upon the goodness and mercy of God if you can't sleep anyway? I promise you, if you'll start searching, whether you get up and read the Bible for a while or whether you start thinking about some of your favorite verses or think about the goodness of God or think about the mercy of God or think about things that He's done for you and how, times that He's delivered you, if you'll just think about that, there'll be a peace to come upon you. You might not be sleepy. You might have to rejoice for a little while, but I'll tell you something, there'll be a peace from that that'll settle you down, and you just might get a good night's sleep. Pardon? That's right. That's right. But whether you sleep or not, it's better to spend your time that way than being frustrated. But it's just a real good possibility you'll get some rest from it. At least your soul will be fed. And even when your body's tired, if your soul is fed, you can do better than the other way around. All right, so, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." God had been so too good to David for him not to remember it and meditate upon it when he wasn't asleep. In other words, whether morning, noon, or night, it is always a good time to praise our great God. And if you find yourself not able to sleep, think about the Lord. Think about something good. All right? Verse 7. "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Because. This is nothing more than David saying he will be thankful. Because God has done this, he says, "I will rejoice while I'm enjoying his mercy and provisions under the shadow of his wing." While he's enjoying that, he'll rejoice. Can't think of a better time to rejoice, can you? "Seek ye the Lord while he's near. Call upon him while he may be found." Right? The more we praise God in remembrance of his mercy and goodness to us, the more thankful we will continue to be. I should have underlined "continue." I missed that one. Thankfulness begets thankfulness. You leave it off, you're going to keep leaving it off. All right? So we need to remember, thank the Lord for his blessings. I trust that you're all well exercised in thanking God for your blessings every day. And like we've said before, we have no right to ask him for anything else if we haven't thanked him for what he's already done. All right? Verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Is there anything in life that we should follow after hard, or follow hard after more than God? Okay, I hear that answer. I'm glad to hear it. It's a whole lot better than Sunday morning. It was quiet in here Sunday morning. All right, so we know what's right. We know should be a priority. We talked about that. We ought to be praising God. We talked about that. There's nothing more that we should follow hard after than the Lord. But do we? Now it's gotten quiet. But do we? Why is that? I sincerely would like to know, why is that? Now, for the dead, the person that's dead in sins and doesn't have the Spirit of God in them, we know. But for the child of grace, born of the Spirit, the happy recipient of the Spirit of God and the love of God and faith, and an ability to see the kingdom and hear the word and feel the love. Why is it that person following hard after God more than anything else? If you just stop and think about the blessing of it. We got this old flesh that we drag around with us. And just like God is everywhere we are, this old flesh, I didn't put that in the notes, but this old flesh is there with us too, isn't it? Like Elder Gowen said in that song that he wrote, fleeing for refuge, the flesh is still my closest foe. Oh,
it's always there.
That's right.
It's always there.
But we can be blessed and seeking after God, feeling his presence. But it takes energy, doesn't it? Maybe there's some laziness there. I don't know. But it's something that we need to consider in our own heart, our own case. David, what did he say? My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Is anything more worthy of our effort and affection? We know the answer to that. And could it be that some of our frustrations in life are because we give too much time and attention to things that provide us no real profit? The Bible calls that vanity, doesn't it? Things that are empty and to no profit. And yet, how much of our time do we spend doing those things that doesn't draw us anywhere closer? As a matter of fact, it interferes with our drawing close to God. Brethren, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where our following God is defined. So David insists that while his life was hard, he said, my soul followeth hard after thee. And what blessings could he expect from that? God's right hand, the place of favor, would uphold him. In other words, we'll have help from God. If our things hard, then cling to him with purpose of heart. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll bless you. The blessing is available to all of God's people, but not all avail themselves of it. David then gives us a couple of verses of warning about those who oppose others who are pursuing godliness, saying, verse 9, "But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth." They have no place of favor with the Lord. David talked about following hard after the Lord, and his right, thy right hand upholdeth me. There's help. There's a place of favor for God's people, but not for these that he's about to talk about. They will not enjoy his help as they pursue their course. In fact, they have the greatest of power against them. They're fighting against the Lord. They're going to lose. Now, what do you say? Every time, they're going to lose. And a pit and destruction await them. What a tremendous gulf there is between those who are trying earnestly to follow the Lord and those who are seeking to destroy the godly and all for which they stand. Great gulf. Between those that are serving the Lord and those that are trying to destroy them. We see some of that in the world today, don't we? Does it concern you? It should. It should. Now, I'm not saying you should crawl up in a fetal position in a corner somewhere and be debilitated by fear, because God is still on his throne. That's our sanity in this crazy world today, to remember him, to remember his power, his glory, and his protection of us. All right? Jesus stood up for Stephen. Remember that? Don't you love that account? Stephen preaching the truth, and those people were cut to the heart. Not pricked in the heart like on the day of Pentecost. They were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. They began to stone him. And you remember who gave his consent for them stoning this righteous brother, Stephen? Saul of Tarsus, who later would become Paul the Apostle. Said it before, I'll say it again. The more I study the Bible, the more convinced I am that part of what Paul meant when he said that he was the chief of sinners was those things like the stoning of Stephen. There was no other man on the face of the earth who tried to do as much to destroy the church as Saul of Tarsus. And he knew it. And as he preached that glorious gospel, that thorn was there, knowing what he had done to try to destroy the church. I'm convinced that's why Paul claimed to be the chief of sinners. Now, we all kind of chime in. I'm not sure how sincere we are, but we'd like to think that we're chief of sinners, but there was something there that Paul was saying that's not just the ordinary guilt of sin. He did more than anybody else in his lifetime to try to destroy the church. And he was doing a good job until he met the Lord. That's right. So Jesus stood up for Stephen. Remember, that's the only time you find Jesus standing at the right hand, the throne of God. The lesson there is, if we stand up for him, he stands up for us. Believe that? Remember that. You might need it in the days ahead. Jesus stood up for Stephen. And Saul of Tarsus was rebuked for persecuting Jesus. even as Saul was actually going about persecuting Jesus' followers. Remember that? When the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul was persecuting God's people, but Jesus took it personally. He's our Savior. He's our husband. He's our best friend. When you persecute one of God's people, Jesus takes it personally. And he's going to win. So David says, verse 10, "They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes." Basically, no burial, no honor, being judged. Verse 11. "But the king," who's the king? David's the king. "But the king shall rejoice in God." Now, he's given us a couple of verses there to describe those wicked ones that would try to to hurt and destroy those that were following after God. But he says, "But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." This king, who is known for trusting, praising, and acknowledging God as his helper, shall continue to praise God, whether he's sitting upon the throne or in the wilderness. God is the same, and so should his praises be, regardless of what circumstances befall us. Right? Okay. Now, we might need somebody to remind us of that if life gets hard. Okay? But if they don't, try to remind yourself. He's still worthy of praise, no matter what. Whether king or pauper, everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. Now, isn't that encouraging? Doesn't it still the troubled heart? Troubles are a part of life, but God's favor is eternal. Aren't you glad? And while we live, may we lift up our hands to God and praise him with our lips for his loving kindness he gives us daily. We have a great God. He's worthy that we move our lips in praise to his loving kindness. May God help us to do a better job. Maybe you've been doing a great job, but there's still room for improvement, isn't there? God bless you is our prayer.